I would like to introduce or reintroduce to you Sergio Terio, and he is going to give us a rundown tonight on a fascinating piece of software that he certainly finds to be very powerful and thinks that there may be some other people out here who find it useful as well. So, Serge, take it away.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, everyone. I'll share my screen right now.
Can you see that? There we go. Yep, no problem.
All right. So, Directory Opus, the ultimate Windows Explorer replacement. Why am I talking about Directory Opus? It's because I believe that this is the best Windows Explorer on the market at the present, and it's being developed actively. So, let's go to the outline, and I can show you the program tonight. So, what is Directory Opus? We're going to talk about the Lite and Pro versions and which one is suitable for what kind of people. The price options, it's a concern because a lot of people think that it's an expensive software. So we're going to talk why it's upfront, it's expensive. We're going to talk about the different interfaces of the default Directory Opus. They're called listers. The interfaces are called listers in Opus. And then I'll explain to you why I chose Directory Opus over all other Windows and File Explorers. We're going to talk about a feature called Flat View, which is trademarked by the company. And we're going to talk about the toolbars, which are very important if you want to customize the interface or the listers. And to do so, we need the customized dialog and the preferences dialog. And then I'll show you how to back up the configuration. And just before that, I'll also show you how to save within Opus different configurations that you want to reopen, close, reopen for different purposes. There's a section, well, it's not a section, but there are slides, miscellaneous slides, and a whole bunch of resources at the end. And then after that, we're going to do the live demo. So what I'm going to do, there are hundreds and hundreds of settings in this software. So what I'm going to do is, what I did is I just selected a few things on 86 slides, and I'm going to show you things and explain to you the processes. And then there's a bit of repetition in some slides, so to make sure that you understand the process. And then at the end with the demo, you will see some of those features and other features that I don't talk about here. So what is Directory Opus? So Directory Opus is a complete replacement for Explorer. When you click on Windows key and E, normally your Windows Explorer opens. It's far more powerful. It has a lot more functionalities than all other file managers that you can find today. It has single or dual pane file display and folder trees. It's fully configurable interface, colors, fonts, toolbars, keyboard hotkeys, full scripting interface. It has tabbed interface, which lets you keep multiple folders open and switch quickly between them. You can quickly filter, sort, group, search folders with this software. You can color code your files, which is very interesting. You can assign status icons to your files. You can star rate your files. You can tag and you can put descriptions. You can view images with a viewer, of course, integrated, documents, media files, and more. You can view and edit file metadata, which is a feature that if you have interest in pictures, you can edit directly in the interface the metadata there. You can mark images to let you sort your photos quickly and easily. You can batch rename your files, including easy-to-use keyboard macros. You can synchronize. There's a pane for synchronizing and finding duplicate files. It's built in. You can print and export folder listings. And it supports FTP and archives format like ZIP, 7-Zip, RAR, and others. It has portable version and much, much, much more. Now, what are the differences between the Lite and the Pro versions? The Lite version is designed for home users who need simple, high-performance file manager. So it's more than just your Windows Explorer or before that, the File Explorers. It includes all the essential features of the Pro Edition without a lot of the more complex power user functionalities. We're going to get to that in the next few slides. The Pro Edition is designed for... Oops, I can't read this because it's hidden by the pictures of everybody. Here it is. There we go. The Pro Edition is designed for power users who want to get the most out of their computer. It has all the features of the Lite Edition, plus it expands upon the complexity and configurability to give you the ultimate file manager solution for Windows. Now, there's a 30-day evaluation when you download the software, and you can ask the company to have an extension up to 60 days. The Lite version sells for $43 Canadian at the present, and the Pro Edition for double that price for about $80. Now, the Lite and Pro common functionalities are following. So, it's a powerful management function interface for copying. You can queue copying and batch files and renaming. It's dual pane. It's tabbed. You can create your own toolbars. You can create your own buttons, and you can create your own menus. And as we will see, those buttons and menus and submenus that you can create can lead to Word files, media files, directories, websites, programs, applications, all kinds of objects. It's powerful for searching, sorting, grouping, filtering. It has the viewer. It has the capabilities to read ZIP and it's extensive in that aspect, in that respect. It's portable. On the Lite and the Pro versions, you have support. It has multi-threaded design, which means it works very fast with different open windows at the same time. And it's got 34 and 64-bit capabilities and multi-languages, French included, Spanish, all the major ones. Now, the Pro version is more advanced, of course. It has more functionalities to configure the interface. You can create floating toolbars within the application. So if you're doing something you don't want to refer back to your main window, you can have a floating window and do what you want to do and then come back with a floating window. It has improved functions, pardon me. Oops. It has improved functions. Like I said, synchronized duplicate finders, size split and join functions, which we don't have either in the other one. What other, the FTP support is important if you don't want to use a third party software. And the flat view is very important. File collections is an option in DirectoryOpus that is very important. We will see in details what it is. You can open multiple windows easily like other software, but you can create your own predefined layouts and lister styles. This is also very important, and we're going to talk a lot about this. Again, we can have stored queries using Windows Search and the technical support. Now, about the price, Opus is licensed per machine. The Pro license includes a free personal laptop license, so it means that you have two licenses within when you purchase it. You're entitled to free lifetime electronic technical support, free lifetime, so for the version you have. When you buy it, you have all minor upgrades free of charge, and we're going to talk about this in a moment. Pricing. The light version is $43, as I mentioned. The Pro Single is $80. The Pro Dual means two machines and one personal laptop, $113. And five machines license and one personal laptop. And on top of that, as we can see, we will see, we can add advanced FTP support and more USB portable options. So up front, if you want the five, you have three, four machines in the house, it's $217. Now, best time to buy software, any software, is Black Friday. So you get anything you have on your computer, great. Upgraded in 2016, I added the advanced FTP support and the five USB export license, and I had the five machine license. So it cost me $128 on September 11, 2016. Now, since then, there were no major updates or upgrades. So I was on version 11. And I upgraded to version 12. And for 8 years, this is what I would have paid per year to maintain my software. So it's version 12 is really advanced and they keep on developing and doing things to it. But what else can you do with it? I mean, there's so much you can do. There it is. Before that, I used to upgrade maybe every second year. No, it's been 8 years now. Now, when you open the software, this is the basic default interface in the dual pane. So at first, DirectoryOpus looks like could easily be mistaken for just another file manager. And I believe that a lot of reviewers just open it, look at it. Oh, yeah, it does this, it does that. Okay, good. Let's do the review. But they don't look into the advanced features of the software. Now, this is the description of all the fields in the default lister. And we're going to talk specifically about the operations toolbar, the file display, the metadata pane, the folder tabs, a little bit about the utility panels. I'm going to tell you where they are, where you can find them. There's three of them. And basically, that's it. So in a single dual display with tree and viewer pane, this is what it looks like. And this is in detail mode. Now, notice that you have a search field here. The file list has been filtered to show only files matching the specified keywords. Squirrel. So all the files with squirrel, the word squirrel in it. At the bottom, there's a viewer pane and the metadata pane. If you want to change anything in here, it's possible to do so. In vertical layout, this is what it looks like. And this is, Chris will recognize this. This is the commander style layout. Both file displays are in list mode, showing pop-up tooltips for an image file. So in list mode, we're going to see about that. This is how it looks like. And then this box opens when you're in this mode. This is the dual horizontal layout. So in here you have dual trees, so you have two trees, and you could have only one if you want. The top displays in detail mode, like just like right here, and the bottom display is in picture mode, thumbnail mode. Again, with the metadata pane right here, you can edit the photo objects here, the title included. Batch rename files, you can batch rename files with the software. And you have a whole bunch of settings here to change and to modify as you wish. When you copy files, and if it finds a similar file or a file with the same name, this is what you get. This is the confirm file replace dialog box, and it has other options at the bottom. You can skip identical files, you can replace, and other functions. The FTP client here. You can find it here on the toolbar at the top. And then here there's a queue, a job that is being queued. So in Opus you can start a job and you can start another one and another one and another one, and they will all be queued. Once this one's finished, the other one will get done. And so on and so forth. File synchronization pane right here. It supports one-way and two-way synchronization. It's not the fancy interface of the other software that we looked at, but it does the job all right. So in this image, the synchronization is between a local folder and an FTP website. The advanced search function right here, you can change the settings and see, use different options. Here, the search is for an image modified within the past 2 years that are at least 1280 by 1024 pixels in size. Flat view is very important. Flat view lets you display the contents of all subfolders at once. This is particularly useful for organizing files with a complicated folder structure, and also displayed are some of the many picture information columns you can add to the file display. The columns are right here. So these are customizable as well. Why I chose DirectoryOpus? Well, as you know from my presentation, how to get paid software for free daily, totally legally, I test a lot of software and I was looking for a way to sort them and get better and quicker access to them. This is the first reason and main reason. At the same time, I was looking for a way to replace Windows Start Menu, which I was too limited for my needs and which I don't really like. So looking at DirectoryOpus, I discovered that you can create quick link buttons, not only to your favorite directories and files, including media files, but also to websites, and most importantly for me, to install programs on your computer, which is exactly what I was looking for. I also discovered the file name color coding feature, the toolbars, especially the tab bar, the customization possibilities, and the flat view functionalities, and we're going to talk about flat view right now. So on the default window pane, this is the button to hit if you want to hit to get to flat view. Now I have customized it for my needs. Right here, I've added the buttons at the end of my toolbar. This is the tab bar we're going to talk about a lot. So flat view is a mode you can turn on in a lister that enables you to view all contents of a folder and subfolder at once. In effect, it collapses and flattens the display of a nested hierarchy of folders and files into a single folder. The three different types of flat view mode, which we see here, are mixed no folders, and grouped. In the mixed, you see the display it displays the contents of the current folder and all its subfolder and all their subfolders and so on recursively, as if they were all in one location. So all in one after the other. In mixed, no folders, it displays all the files in the current folder and all subfolders as if they were all in one location. Subfolders themselves are hidden from the display. This is the difference. Displays in group mode, it displays the contents of all subfolders in a tree hierarchy. Now, we're going to let Shane Monroe explain to us in detail what FlatView is and what it can do for you. Let's see if my video works. Actually, I'm going to go to my okay, let's watch it right here.
If you're opening up as an external, you're going to have to stop the share and reshare.
Ah, okay. Let me see. Stop the share.
And reshare whatever you use to display the video.
I'm going on in Opera in order to get a full screen.
Okay.
Let's see if we see that. Do you see that?
Yep.
Okay, let's start and open here. Do you see that?
Yep. Okay. I'm not hearing anything, though.
You're not hearing anything, okay.
When you share it, you should have the option to include audio, I believe.
Okay, let me see. I'll start again. Stop share. Share screen. Share sound. Optimize for video click. Why not? Okay. Share. Okay. Start.
A feature called FlatView.
Yep.
It's so revolutionary. It's so amazing that they actually trademarked it. So we're going to take a look now at a fake movies folder that I have on my computer here. I have my movies broken down by year, and inside of each year, I actually have genres for each of my movies. So if I were to go into action, I'd see things like Dead Heat, Predator, and Wedlock. And likewise, I could dig and dig and dig. It'd really be nice for me to be able to see, show me all the movies in all of these folders. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, that's something you would think your file manager could do. Why should I have to drill and drill and drill? Well, that's exactly what FlatView does. So let's start off by taking a look at the FlatView button. We're going to hold down our mouse, left click on that, and then you're going to have three different items as well as off, which it currently is off. We have grouped, mixed, and mixed with no folders. So we need to look at each one of these and see how it works. So let's take a look at grouped. Grouped works great. You're able to see the whole file structure down to the file, so I can tell the Dead Heat is in action inside of 1900 to 1995. And this moves all the way down through all of the other ones. You can also see what folders have no movies in them versus what folders do have movies in them. And the location is available here. So if, for example, you're down here at Vibes, you're not really sure, you know that it's under Rom-Com, but what's the next folder level up? You can just come over here and you can see it's in 1900 to 1995 Rom-Coms. So that's really cool. That's a great methodology of looking. Let's take a look at Mixed. Mixed allows all files and folders to be displayed with zero hierarchy. All the folders are displayed, including all of my different dramas, all of my different horrors, all of my different miscellaneouses, as well as their location, and all of the files. Well, now I can see all my movies. That's pretty good. What I really need to see, just show me the movies. I don't need to see the folder structure as long as I can see where they're at. So the last item under FlatView is mixed with no folders. Wow, that's literally exactly what I wanted. I wanted to see all the movies that I have. I don't care where they're located in the file structure. I just want to see the movies. And there we have them. All of the movies are right there for you to see. And you can perform actions on them just as you would normally. In fact, now, if you want to copy, check this out. It's even smart enough to know. So I'm going to move these over to my temp folder just so that we have, I guess I'll make a temp folder. So watch what happens when I try to move something that's embedded inside of a folder. I'm going to try to move Predator over here. Now, it actually knows that I'm in FlatView, and it asks me, you're going to copy a nested file from a FlatView folder. Do you want to recreate the source directory structure, or do you just want to copy the file over? Well, I just want to, just Just copy the file. Why is this so complicated? Boom, there's my file. But perhaps you really wanted to maintain the hierarchy because you're moving to another computer. I don't know, whatever reason you might want to have. We're going to go ahead and copy. This time we're going to go ahead and recreate the folder structure. How freaking awesome is that? This is just one of those little things that Directory Opus does that no other file manager does. And if you don't know that it's there, then you might not ever use it and realize, why am I spending $60 on Directory Opus when I can get Total Commander or use Windows File Explorer? These are the sorts of reasons why. Okay, how about a real-world example, something you might use every day? Maybe you're not a movie aficionado. Maybe you don't have 1,600 MP3s to manage. Let's just say that you're trying to edit your host file. This is something very common for developers and stuff to do. And you know it's somewhere in Windows, and you know it was somewhere in System 32. But outside of that, where is it? Now, you can sit here and drill through every one of these folders until you find them, or you can invoke your friend FlatView and turn off no folders, and at that point in time, right, you can just type in hosts, if you type it right. And, of course, hosts. Okay, so there's one match. Boom, it's right there. And now you can tell, if I'm go ahead and bring this column over, the host file is actually found under drivers, etc. So this is, I mean, you can utilize this a million different ways. FlatView is something I use almost every single day because it is just so natural. Folder structures are there to sort, not to view. So if you can collapse your folder structure, you can actually get access to the files and the files that you're actually looking for. That's FlatView. Again, it's trademarked. If you actually look at the term in the documentation, let me see if it does it on the hover over. Oh, it's not. It doesn't say trademark here. But if you look in the documentation, you'll see they actually trademarked the FlatView. And it's maybe that's why no other browser or file manager. Maybe that's why no other file manager has it. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this Directory Opus quickie. If there's something you'd like to see in Directory Opus, drop a comment. Please like, subscribe, hit the bell. You guys know what to do. As always, thanks so much for watching and take care.
Can you see that?
Yep.
All right. So, FlatView, great feature. So, for me, in an effort to manage all my software and replace the Windows Start menu, I went from this basic directory Opus interface to this, where I control everything on my computer for here. This is my console. This is the first thing I open every day. I have access to everything the way I want it, directories, folders, programs, websites. I have everything in here. So this is here an example of a menu that I created with submenus. Right here is an example. So I control all my websites from here. All my tools are accessible from here. My editors, I have an external FTP client here if I want, when I want something more fancy. Everything is here. And same with all the others here, which I'm going to show you in the demo later. Now, this is in dual vertical mode. This is the commander mode. And notice that the menus that are here, the toolbars that are here, pardon me, we will see later where they're located. This is a list of them. Here we are in dual vertical with two folder trees. Here one folder tree, which is practical, very practical. Here the Explorer style. For those who like Explorer, you can get the Explorer with this. And this film strip mode I like very much because you can go through all your pictures very quickly right here. I find it faster sometimes than looking through a whole bunch of icons. So going like this, it's, for me, it's fast. Now, when you click on the image toolbar, image mode, sorry, on the tab bar toolbar, this is the image mode, it opens the image toolbar. And we're going to talk about this later on, too. And yeah, you can have a single style pane if you want. This is also practical sometimes when you don't want to have a cluttered interface. So you can just go down your list and in using flat view if you want. This is nice. Now, this is the metadata pane here. And it appears with when you have the it opens also the image folder because it's an image. These are images that you can modify. But if you had MP3s, MP4s, you would have the same option here. I can't read what I have at the top here because I have the bar of Zoom at the top here. So I don't
know. It's actually a bit of a black bar against us as well.
Okay.
It actually says an easy way to display the metadata pane in Lister is with the button.
Yeah, this button right here, or press F9. Yes, yes. Little addition, last minute addition, this one. here we are in dual horizontal with a viewer and with two folder trees here. You could have one as well. Now, the three directory Opus customization tools that are important are the customized dialog, the preferences dialog, the images, the subdirectory. These two are very important if you want to start customizing your interfaces. We'll talk about briefly about the images, item number 3. Let's get it out of the way because it's simply the subdirectory images under /program/files/directory/opus/images. And this is very important to make a backup copy of that particular images directory because it happened to me in the past, of course. I had a crash. And at the beginning, when I was in version 8 many years ago, and all the little icons that I had prepared and made transparent all disappeared in the crash. So the work had to be redone. So now I make backups and it's better. The customized dialog can be found under settings. Now, I'm showing you my interface, but on the basic interface, it's the same thing. The four items at the top, it's under settings. You go under settings and you access the customize and the preferences options dialogs. This is for customize. This is where almost all the options that control the Opus toolbars can be found. When you click on customize, this is what opens. You have four tabs, and by default, it's on the second tab, the toolbar tab. Customize and preferences dialogs are also accessible by clicking the icon on the upper left corner of the interface. So the right and the upper left corner, you click on the icon, you will have the option to open the preferences and customize dialogs. This is important because sometimes if you close all your toolbars, you don't have anywhere to click to go back to the settings. You just go to the left-hand side, upper corner, and you get the access through there. So again, the customized toolbar and its contextual menu are used for customizing the toolbar. So by right-clicking on a blank space on any toolbar, it will bring up the toolbar contextual menu, which is this one that we saw earlier. If the lock the toolbars option is turned on, the toolbars in the Lister will be locked to prevent them from being dragged, repositioned, because you can reposition your toolbars anywhere, or accidentally floated, and you can float any toolbar. Under the commands tab, it displays a list of commands that you can easily add to toolbars by drag and drop. So all the commands in Opus that are on toolbars by default are here. So you're looking for something, you can look through here, and you can just drag it to the toolbar if you want to have your own special toolbar. Under keys, it's all the hotkeys. So you can use those hotkeys, and or you can edit them or make your own in there. Under context menu, this is where various context menus can be edited. The context menu here, menus here are for the user interface elements like the column headers in a detail mode fire display, the taskbar icon, and so on. So note that the context menus for files and folders are not edited through here. Instead, they are controlled through the file types system. Now, this is one of the toolbars. It's called the Lister menu toolbar. It's a, I call it a partial toolbar as compared to the full one. But right here, compared to the full one, you have access to most of the essential functions that you need. And this is the one I use currently because on my small laptop, I have limited space and I didn't want to have too many toolbars. So I use this one and serves the purpose very, very nicely. Again, under settings, this is right here. You have the options to the customers and preferences dialogs. Now the toolbars. Here's the first one, the tab bar. The full menu toolbar. The Lister menu toolbar. The operations toolbar, which is an important one in my view. The alphabetical sorting toolbar. If you want to sort through your files by just clicking M, getting everything that starts with M, there you go, that's it. A toolbar card toolbar, it's a generic one. I think it's by default on the default interface. So you have here, I see some icons for images. I don't see the flat view icon here, but anyway, I've long gone past this one, but it's you have the back and the forth and the up way to go change the, to go back and go forward. Here's the location toolbar, an important one also. Here's the PDF toolbar. Yeah, so we have an integrated PDF toolbar. Here's an application toolbar. This is a sample toolbar. We're going to use that later in the demo to start the customization. This is the image toolbar. So you can see that you can convert directly here to different formats. You can set your wallpaper here as well, and you can select the size of the thumbnails that you want in your display. This is the Nero toolbar, if you have Nero. This is the Office 365 toolbar. Now, there's no Office toolbar in here, but you just get this sample toolbar here, the application toolbar, and you can, we will see that we can just drag the applications on there and have them accessible right there. Now, notice here that the labels are underneath here. You can have the labels at the top, at the bottom, on the right, or on the left. It's your choice when you customize the either the directories or the buttons. This is the OpenOffice toolbar. You can have it for LibreOffice as well if you have LibreOffice on your machine or any other office suite. This is the default toolbar I was telling you about in the default interface. So these are the four tabs that you have there. And at the end here, you have controls for images. And the listers here. This is the rename toolbar if you want to rename quickly on the fly your files. And you have the drive toolbar. So if you have many hard drives or SSDs connected to your machine, they will all be displayed here. Now, on top of that, you have, of course, the customized toolbars. Just mine here. And here's one that I downloaded from the forum. Somebody had made this one, and I wanted to have this button here, which I went to get and transferred to my toolbar right here. Now, the customized dialog toolbar, dialog with the toolbars tab, it displays a list of your toolbars, lets you turn them on or off, and create and edit new ones. Here you can edit background, colors, and images, and set color labels and fonts. So you can set the fonts on your toolbars if you want something big, if you want something cursive, if you want something narrow, you can set that. It's very useful. How to create your own toolbar? It's easy. On the main menu bar, click on Settings, Customize. Or click on an empty space on any toolbar and click right-click. Actually, right-click, sorry, this is right-click on Customize. Okay, no, sorry, click on Customize. Under the Toolbar tab, click on the Create a New Toolbar icon. There we go. This is the button. Click on there. This opens. Set your toolbar. Give it a name. And there it is. It appears in the list of toolbars. By default, when you create it, it will show. So if you don't want to show it right there, you just unclick it. So you can position the toolbars on any side of the screen. Top, bottom, left, right. Even in the middle, in between the panes, if you want. Background image control. So for the toolbars, again, we're still in the toolbar customization. You have a customize folder here. Under customize, it's settings mainly for the toolbars. Only for the toolbars. Under preferences, it's all the rest. You can make a toolbar use of any background image that you have added to the list of the preferences display image pane. Here it is. Here it is. In other words, if you want to customize your toolbar, we're going to see that later in the next file, in the next slide, you have to have them set up first here, the images on your toolbar, not the background color, but the images on the toolbar. You have to go to preferences first and then customize. So how to change the background of the toolbar, this is how. Your toolbar backgrounds can be changed to any solid color or to an image. I use a Windows Textures wallpaper for that. Some people use images. We will see examples of that later. So go to settings, preferences. Under display, click on images, right here, display images, select to modify. So you choose the toolbar pane to modify, the metadata pane, the toolbar image pane. You can have a background on that pane, a folder tree pane as well. For each one, you select the type of displays. You want a tile, stretch, top left, bottom left. You can experiment with this when you download, if you download the evaluation copy from the website. Remember that you must first set your customized background in the preference dialog in order to be able to customize the toolbar backgrounds from customized dialog. This is what I just mentioned earlier. Now, the toolbars and the different types of resources. So Directory Opus offers the possibility to link directly to resources through toolbars. Toolbars objects, link can be made to directories, files, word media, website links, saved on your computer. If you drag a link on your computer, you can link to that. Install programs and apps. Now, the editing, the toolbar section of the manual explains in details how to add the different types of objects to toolbar. So don't worry, I'm going to show you how to do so, but if you want more details than what I'm going to show you, you can just go to this, the either the PDF manual or the online manual.
Eric, you wanted a time check at 8:15?
8:15, thank you. That's good. How to add a button, file directories, anything. So you go to settings, customize. There's two methods. I'll show you the easy method and the hard method. Go to settings, customize, right click on the toolbar of your choice, click on new and choose a new button. Right now we're going to talk about buttons. Right click on the button and choose edit. This is what shows when you right click and choose edit. So in the function fields of the command editor, this is the command editor which opens by default. In the function fields field, paste the path of the file or directory or the address of the website that you want quick and regular access to. So you go on the web, copy the URL, cut and paste it there, and click OK. And in the meantime, if you want to change the icon here, it's possible to do so. If I'm on a white background, it's not a problem on my toolbar. But if I'm on a colored background or a textured wallpaper, I would prefer to have this as a transparent image. So, and you can also, I don't talk about this in this presentation, but you can also have dual images. And you can choose the size of the images on the toolbars. There are two or three sizes that you can choose from. I'm going to show you that in the demo. So click on the image field, that's what I'm telling you about, and then you can finalize the settings here. You can, I don't mention this elsewhere, but you can, by default, if you drag something there, if you drag a program there, there's going to be something written here. You can have a tip showing that if you go over the icon, you can have a description, or you can have the name of the file, the actual name of the file, with the .exe, for example, showing here. So it's up to you to write what you want there. You can have a hotkey as well to access this button as well faster. That's it. Yeah. Method two. Setting, customize. Now, this is the easy method. You drag the file. Drag the PDF, you drag the MP4, MP3, your icon for your linked website, your program icon, the .exe file under C:\Program File or C:\Program Files x86, or the icon on the desktop. So when I try software, the icon shows on the desktop. I go to customize. I drag the icon in the directory or subdirectory that I want, and there we go. I have the option to access that software rapidly in my directory because I clean my I keep my desktop uncluttered, and I don't want anything in the start menu of the Windows. So I always click off the option for that. So on the actual toolbar, you right click and create button, like I showed you earlier. Choose edit, fine tune it, done. That you have your link. Drop down menus. Now we talked about buttons. Now we're going to talk about the two types of menus. You have the menu, and the menu button displays a menu like this, and nothing more. Click the button, and the fields show underneath. Now the drop-down new menu button, it's like a regular button combined menu, but it has two parts. It has the label and it has the arrow glyph. So in my setting, the arrow glyphs open the subdirectories and the other directories on this side. So the option to show underneath or on this side or any side you want is there. To add a menu or menu button or submenu, you first customize, like I mentioned. Actually, I'm not going to go through that. This is the description is right here. It's like the other, like a button. You just drag whatever you want on these two menus or submenus. How to set labels and spacers, because you have an option to set labels and spacers as well. This is a label in a submenu, under a menu, pardon me. This is a menu. And you have a spacer here. These are combined, spacer and label. So you go to settings, left click on the drop down menu, a header, and just say add label. So this is where this is what shows when you right click. You left click. Left click. No.
Probably right, right click.
Right click. I will correct that. Okay. Just confused there for a moment. I wrote left. So there it is. Label. And then you can type the label you want. You can have put some hyphens there, a bunch of hyphens in front and afterwards if you want to separate, make things a bit clearer and make them stand out a bit more. They would be in the middle. You can set them to be in the middle as well, that way. Or you can tap space, 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 and have them show the specific number of spaces here in a column. Up to you. Customize well. Back to this, we'll show the demo. How to colorize files or directory names. This is the operations toolbar. So you click on properties. You click on set labels. And there you go. You have options of colors here. I believe you can add colors of your own here. I never did. By these are colors by default, and these are options also by default that can be added to your the file name. And if you want to reset, you're not happy with the colors in a certain directory. You have too many colors. You want to reset. You reset to the default Windows option or colors. Now the preferences menu, the second item that's very important, almost all of the options that control how Opus looks and behaves can be found here. And there's no denying there's a lot of options. So all of this, like I said, they're all in the manual, page 321, and on and on and on and on. There's hundreds of settings you can find here. So once you start, fortunately, you have the search preferences here field. And I'm going to show you that a bit later. You can type tab, and it will show you everything that under tab, where the word tab appears. Here we go, page 321 of the Opus manual, which, by the way, has 600 pages. Now, the file preference menu, when you want to test your settings, say you work in a whole bunch of things, and you just want, just for testing, just to see what happens, what it looks like. Under a file here at the top of the preference menu, which is right here, you have all these options. The one that's important when you try things out is the first one. It restores all the settings on the current page to their value when preferences was first opened. So you're in a session, you open preferences, you do whatever you want there, and you're not happy with it. You click on restore page setting and it will restore back to the what you had before you open the preferences menu dialog. This even works if you have click apply button. You can undo any change at any time as long as you don't close the preferences dialog. Once you're done, it registers it. Of course, you can go back and undo what you did, but this is practical if you do some testing, you want to see what things look like. The five preferences, the other options here, I won't talk about them. You can see what each one of them does, but this change configuration mode is important. If you have many people using the same computer, you can have a private configuration or you can have a shared configuration. So each user can have their own configuration or you have a configuration for everybody. Now, folder tabs. folder tabs are under preferences, file, folder tabs here, and under options, you have a whole bunch of options. Some basic controls, okay? If you're in the interface, you right-click on, or you get to the preferences directory or customized directory. You want to open a folder tab, you click on the plus sign here, which normally is at the end of the, right here. Or you can double-click on any space on the toolbar. So any free space, you can double-click on there, and it will open a new folder tab in the directory where you are. And it will be permanent, that is, as long as you don't close it or delete it. To close, you click on the X. Now, here I don't have the option of the X because I didn't click on there. And you can double-click on any of the tabs here, and it will close them. To create new folder tab, you double-click on the empty, and then there you go. Here's a detail. Oh, yeah, right here. Okay. So to find all the folder tab controls or any control of any features, you can simply search in the field here. Here, the search was done on folder tabs. You can see that under folder tab here, under this subdirectory, you have these options. But you have other places where folder tab appears. In this case, under folder tab here, you can see the settings for the fonts on your toolbars anywhere in the application. Here, anywhere. Well, actually, this is for folder tab specifically, but you can, of course, get to the options for the files directory font option. Now, all the controls, I won't go over all those, but on the operations toolbars, you have this menu here, which I customized. This is the default icon. I wanted to add the label here on my menu. So this is, if you click on there and click on folder tabs, these are all the options that are described here and all what you can do with those general options. You can right-click on any tab to access the options menu, which is this. And this gives you an option to group, have some groups of tabs that you can save right here. And you can save this particular file display tab series, or you can have this and the other one that's right here for both file display fields. So that means that if you have a group there, I have Directory Opus group here. If I click on there, all these Directory Opus, if I click, they're all closed, all these will open at once. Now the three utility panels, which is Find, Synchronize, and Duplicate Files, can all be accessed with Control F, which gives you opens the Find panel, and you can access the others by clicking on the drop down arrow here, or you can find it under the Output window submenu here under Tools, because the general panel where those three panels reside is called the Output window, and it's accessible through the tool tab here. File collections. This is what is added to your tree in Windows Explorer, or when you install the Directory Opus. These appear. It would be Duplicate, Find, and Flickr, and Mark Pictures. So what is a file collection? A file collection is a virtual folder that acts as a container for other files and folders. The items in file collection do not need to be stored in the same physical folder. They can reside on other folders, on other disks, or even in other virtual file systems like FTP. When you add items to a collection, they are not actually moved or modified at all. All Opus it stores, it's a reference to the original files. Collections are also used by the Flickr photo sharing synchronization system. One thing to remember, you can work with the files in a file collection. You can copy them, you can rename them, you can delete them, just like you would in the real file. So this is just like an image of those files. But deleting files in a collection will delete a real file. So to remove files from a collection without deleting them, use the remove from collection command. That's important to remember. Here I did a search for duplicates. So image marking and file collections. A common task is sorting through a bunch of digital photos, working out which ones to keep, which ones to upload, which ones to print. The image marking feature in the standalone viewer can make this process very simple. Images you mark are automatically added to a file collection. Additionally, thumbnails of the images you've marked are shown in a separate panel in the viewer, and there are commands that make it easy to move around the marked images. If you want to take a break from your session, you can simply close the viewer and come back in later. All images that you mark will be saved in the file collection. When you've marked one or more images, you close the viewer. Opus will automatically display the file collection for you in a new tab, and you can change the deviant preferences. So here it is. So I've marked this file here. And it was from my Android 2022.02.20 subdirectory. So to mark the correct image in the file, simply push the M key, which is a shortcut key, or click the mark button right here. With the default configuration, a file collection will automatically be created based on the name of the image parent subfolder, which is right here. So the mark image pane opened automatically on the left of the viewer window, showing the thumbnails here. And there you go, it's marked. If it's unmarked, if you have a series of files here, you will see the difference between the marks and the unmarked one with this, star here. Now, here's a directory not containing images, right here. And here's a directory containing images. So the difference is when I click on, for example, directory Opus icons, the image toolbar will open automatically. And the same goes with if I notice that I'm on dual horizontal mode here. And if I switch to images mode, the same thing will happen. The images toolbar will open. Now, I mentioned this because some users find annoying the fact that the image toolbar opens up in image mode. Perhaps you just want to see the files and not edit them. Because what you have to do, if this opens, you have to right-click, close it. So how do I stop the images toolbar from opening automatically when I switch from details view to thumbnail view, for example? Because I can switch the view here from details to thumbnail. Easy. Go to preferences, find display mode toolbar, turn off images in the thumbnail field by clicking none at the top of the drop-down menu. So you go here, go to the very top of the menu, click none, and this will never happen again. If you want it back, just go back, set it back. Scripts. Directory Opus is supported by a large community of users who create and share buttons and scripts that you can use to be more efficient or enhance your Windows experience overall. Resource Center button script section, which is right here, can be found right here. It lists hundreds of scripts, including some for Directory Opus to interact with common programs such as Everything, Dropbox, Calibre, Outlook, Thunderbird, Google Maps, etc., etc., etc. Scripts can easily be embedded in toolbar buttons. Scripts are easy to install. Just follow the instructions given by their author. I repeat, just follow the instructions given by their authors, because there are differences. How to use buttons and scripts in general are described here. It's described here. That's important because it shows some ways that scripts can be added. And when you go to the forum here and you click on the different scripts from the different authors, there may be some slight differences. So you always follow what the author says. Now, how to save the different layouts for different purposes. Let's say you have a layout with many panes and a different one for, let's say, for pictures processing, and another one for a file, ordinary file processing. You may have one for your CD collection processing or whatnot. So you can have different layouts, and you can save them, edit them, and you can save, if you have many listers open, you can save a series of listers. Now, this is what each option does. I'm going to show that to you in the demo. Now, when you close the edit layout, you have other options here. By close all existing listers when loading this layout. I did this. I will show you what I did. I click on this, and I have a button for layouts. That I can, if I open different layouts and I want to close them all at once and reopen only one single layout, I click on my button and this is what happens. It opens one, the single layout that I want as a default layout. How to back up? As I mentioned before, the layouts are for controlling the different interfaces or the different listers within the application. You can save different interfaces. The backup configuration is a bit different. It backs up your images, your sound, your miscellaneous data, the position of things, and you can. Mine, I'm set up to OneDrive, so whenever I back up it goes to OneDrive. So what happens if I go to a new computer? I download all my icons in my images folder under program files, and I install download this configuration. All my configuration with all my background colors, all my background texture, wallpaper, all my icons will be there on a new computer. What's important is the image folder, and this saved file. So backup and restore is under the settings tab, very easy to find. And you have shortcut keys, of course, for Opus. And Alt-click is a nice shortcut because if you Alt-click on any object, it will open the customize dialog and it will open the edit dialog at the same time. So that's very practical. Plus, you have an image marking shortcut keys. These are the when you're on image marking mode or when you have the viewer pane open, you can use these shortcuts to access them. Now, here are some examples of interfaces that were developed by other users. So you have this one here. You have this one here, simple one. Different colors. Here's a background with a textured wallpaper. And here's a nice gray one. Very nice. And of course, a few more of mine developed over the years, 2010, and version 20, version 8 or 9 of Directory Opus. 2013, you have a French toolbar here for all my needs. And I have some small buttons. These are small. These are the large ones. Here's another one. And here is the, what is it called again? The, I forget now. The checkbox mode, there you go. So you can checkbox and process those files. Here's another one with a separate toolbar with all my lexicons, different fields, different lexicons. And here's another one, the blue, bluish gray. Now, the most important thing to remember about Opus is if you don't like something, you can probably change it. Here's some resources. Access to the documentation, the 600 pages PDF manual, plus the online manual, which is practical, very practical as well. And here you have another manual here that was developed by somebody else, which is also very practical. So I go here and I go there often. And you can find a whole bunch of video tutorials, and I've listed them here in order in an easy way to find because they're very scattered on the web. Like you would find part one on one screen of YouTube, and you have to go down, 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 down and find part two somewhere. Maybe part three gets there before. Here they are in order. And you also have a description of the light edition here and a description of the pro edition here. And some more here. And that's it. I'll go to the demo mode now, but let me see here. Okay. My pain doesn't show here. Let's see here. Okay, my viewer pain doesn't show.
You could always just show your entire desktop if you prefer.
Where do you get to our entire desktop here?
When you're doing the share, it'll be the first option for sharing. It'll be entire desktop.
I have basic, advanced, and files there. Okay. Okay, I'll open the flap of my laptop and move it to there. Ah, okay, I think I know what's happening. Okay.
Okay, there we see your PowerPoint in non-view mode.
Okay. Do you see that?
Just one way.
Okay, hang on a second. There it is. Okay. See that?
Yep, there we see.
All right.
Now we're seeing that it's kind of weird. There's for me anyways, there's a bit of a gray bar that is in the top right hand corner. Is that the zoom controls that are overlaying it?
Yes, and I have a black the black zoom control upper right corner here.
Yeah, if you can move the zoom controls somewhere else, you should be able to just grab and drag them, perhaps.
Oh, okay, there it is. Should have known that before, right? Okay, put it.
So you put it on your other monitor. There we go.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Did you see it at the bottom?
Actually,
now?
We got it at the bottom now. Yeah.
Okay, I have to open my laptop here to try to get to the other one. Let's see if I can do that.
Okay, now we're seeing the gray bar down in the bottom right corner.
Okay, I'm gonna grab it here.
There we go. Perfect.
Now it's on my okay. Let me close the folder. Okay. Ah, it's It's back. Do you see that?
Yeah, it popped back to the bottom left. Maybe just leave it there.
Is there an option to hide it?
I don't know. Actually, Zoom is
high floating.
Weird.
Control Alt Shift H. There you go.
See what happens there. Okay, we got a bar right in the middle right now.
there
it's good. Good. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Control F, ship something. We'll see what happens later.
Okay.
Okay, so there's my interface. Let's say I want to change. I'm going to show you how to control the toolbars first, okay? So, controlling toolbar, I right click, customize. That's one way of doing it. I can go to settings, customize. It's another way of doing it. Now, I'm going to open a toolbar here. What time is it? No, 8:47. Okay. Before I do that, I'll take a few minutes to show you what is it exactly that I want to customize through my customized toolbar. You notice here that these buttons I've added in the past few days, and I have a link here that opens directly in Opera on the OPCUG website. Now, these are two scripts that I installed. If I click on there, that's the script that opens. I got that from the forum, and I can search for OPCUG. And then I can look for Opera with DuckDuck website. Google, Bing, and I just specify which one I want, and it will open. That's the button. I didn't do any work on that. I just took the script, put it in the button, and it works. Under Thai language here, I have a. This is I use that very often because I'm learning Thai. So I have a one of my website where I keep resources is here. This is on the web. These are outside websites that I can access through here. These are online resources. Local resources, this opens a subdirectory right here. And this one opens the directory above. This is where we were here. And sometimes I just want to go to the generic one, I just go here. Over here, I have links to specific, I'll show you again right here, specific subdirectories, which are in books, if I can find books, English. All these are books that can be found under the books directory. And here are programs that I can access that are installed on my computer and that I can access very easily. Do you see that window as well?
Right now it's just a gray box.
It's a gray box. Okay. I would have to share it. But anyway, it's a program that I can open. It's on my installed program. There you go. So I have a language bar here. There's a whole bunch of things here. These are just examples of things you can do. You can create, like I told you, the menu, submenu, because this is the menu. This is the new menu button. I open on the side here and not underneath. So it's very practical to have subdirectories here to DeepL, Google Translate, and all these. These are English resources on the web, French resources local and on the web. Wikipedia English, Wikipedia French, and I have here's a script that I downloaded to get access to translate Google Translate directly from here. I could take this button if I wanted, customize. I take this button here, copy, go here, open the applications toolbar. And paste it. And there it is. Now it's got the label. I don't want the label. I edit. You don't see that. I have to share that.
Okay.
But just to tell you, I can edit the label from here. And I can, if I want, I can also customize. I can drag and drop or copy a whole directory if I want to the toolbar. Paste. You see that?
Yep.
Okay. So I just took the toolbar here, the submenu here, that I and I just copied it here. If you have, for me, for instance, for all the tools under Microsoft Office are here. They're not on the toolbar. I have only a few of them on the toolbar, the ones that I use most often. I have the ones that are not that are not listed. When you install the program, you have to they can go and get the Archive and the WordPad also. And I have other related programs here that are third-party programs that I can access to directly. So this is that. And then we close that. And there we go. It's done. PDFs, I could have put that under language. I could have put that anywhere. Here's my online resources. Multimedia is interesting because I put under here my cell phone programs for transferring my files from my cell phone, and all the social media links are here. If I want to open one, I can open one. I have downloaders. I separated audio, images, and video software here. Here's the some online stuff to go and make some transparent images quickly. Here's some software, audio software, video software. I had to convert the SlideView software, SlideView video to MP4. I used this software to do that. I have screen recording software right here, screenshot software. I use this one here to get the screenshot of the particular toolbars because it's practical for that. AC/DC software, shampoo software, CyberLink, my websites, my online resources. Right here, everything is here. Backup software, and a lot of those are free software that I got through my other method. And my purchase software is right here. Synchronization software, recovery software is here. And some of them are installed on outside on the keys, but they're here anyway. I have a separate rename software here, although I can use the rename function here. My cloud things that I got over the years for free are still here. The paid one here. Some cleaners with a spacer bar. When you're in a customized mode, the spacer bar will show like this. Let's go here and see the spacer bar under resources. Security software. Everything's organized in more logically than just a generic menu of Windows. Now, let's see if I can go back to the applications toolbar right here. And I want to modify, let's say I want to modify Notepad here. I want the label on.
Yeah, we're just seeing that as a gray box.
Yeah. Okay, let me see if I can share this particular box. A bit complicated. Sherry.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you have the description that I showed you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I think I'll stop here. Let me see here. And like, it's time for questions if people have questions.
Okay, I see nothing in the chat just now, but I can't force an unmute, but what I can do is I can mute all and allow participants to unmute themselves, so that will include you, Serge Eric. So everybody has the ability now to unmute themselves if you have a question, or you could throw it into the chat. And we have a comment from Michelle Faber. Thanks, Serge Eric, very informative. From Robert Benson, thank you, very good presentation. Bob Harris, before the meeting began, I was perfectly satisfied with Windows File Explorer. Now I find myself needing to decide which version of Directory Opus will best me. Very impressive, thank you, Serge Eric. I will echo that one for sure, because that's it's incredibly more powerful than I dreamed it could be. I can see how it'd take a little while to get really used to all of the things that you can actually do with it. But it definitely is a very, very powerful piece of software. Just while we're waiting to see if any other questions come in, if we can go back, I was trying to multitask here with cutting and pasting things into the chat. When you were talking about they charge for major versions, but you get free minor versions, and you mentioned about how often major versions can come out. Can you reiterate that one? You'll have to unmute yourself, Sergey. Yeah.
There we go. At the beginning, I guess I paid for the pro version single license. Let me see if I can go back to the presentation here. Let's see from here. Okay. Here.
And I think you wanted about...
Can you see it?
Yep.
Okay.
And I think you wanted slide 8.
Slide 8 right here. Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Slide 8. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Version 8, I think, if I remember correctly, I bought a pro version because I wanted to play with the advanced functions. So I paid $80 or $90, I don't remember. And then at the time. And then a couple of years after, there was an upgrade. And actually, you know what? I can tell you exactly if I have the directory here. Let me just find here. Right here. Purchases. Okay. I purchased version 8, 9, 10, 10.5. There was an upgrade. 11. 11. There was, I bought five licenses and 12. So since 12, 8 years have passed and I haven't put any money out. But version 8 I bought in 2017. Version 9, 2017. I don't think the dates are correct here. Yeah. Let me see. Purchase order number. That's not it. Online purchase. Here we go. I paid $81 in 2011. So yes, when there's an upgrade, you have to put out money. But then again, it depends what you want in a Windows directory, Windows Explorer. So if you want basic functions with more than Windows Explorer, go to the light version. It will cost you half the price, and you will have a single license. So, but if you want advanced functions, then, but like I said, since 2016, I haven't paid a cent.
Yeah. Do you know when, like they're on Opus 12 now, do you know when they released Opus 11, for example?
When they released Opus 11, yeah, maybe I can tell you that because I have.
Yeah, just give an idea about how often they upgrade the program. If you wanted to stay up to date all the time, you know, how often are you talking? And I think their upgrade prices are are less than the full as well, huh?
Yeah, for example, from now until January 2015, you can add extra install license. Okay, blah, blah, blah. I'm just thinking through the emails in my purchases folder. $26 Australian dollars in 2014.
Quite a while ago.
Yeah, so, but, yeah.
Okay.
This was specifically for the FTP option because I wanted to add that for my five licenses. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so, yeah, between 8, 9, 10, 11, there were there was more money put up. I don't have the listing of all the money they put up, but if you purchase the one license today, the 12, version 12, well, maybe you'll have to put out a bit of money next year or the year after.
Right.
But, yeah.
Also, do you know you mentioned how they support FTP sites. Do you happen to know if they support Google Drive as a destination?
No. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I would have to check on that.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I can probably look it up in their manual.
Chris, Opus 11 was released in 2014.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's been 9 years that you would be current, even with, they would have the minor releases that come out between then. And so 9 years between major releases. So that is a long time before you have to end up paying, even if you wanted to stay completely current. That's good.
That's what, like I was saying at the beginning, there were quite a few upgrades there at the beginning. Yeah. And then since version 12, that's been many years.
Yeah.
Version 12 came out in 2016.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I upgrade this every time there's a new version coming up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's say it's been 7 years that it's been the current version, so that's really good news for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that really cuts down on the cost of the software if you look at it that way. That you don't have to lay out money frequently if you want to keep up to date with the latest version of the software. That's very, very cool. Yeah.
Flat view also is superb because when you have IFCD collections and I want to know what is where, I just click on the flat view button and I find my files very easily. Same with any other files. I have some 4 million files on my drive.
Right.
So I do research on language, I do research on Opus, I do research on software. I have a lot of files, so this is the best way to sort all these through all these files.
And I
organize my directories in a logical fashion.
Okay. And FlatView is available in the light version too?
I think, let's see.
Yeah, just look at
I've always used the pro version, right. So yeah. I don't want to see it.
Oh, well, actually, it's the pro version functionality, use FlatView mode and file collections to better manage your files. That looks like it's just the pro version.
It's a pro version, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I could see definitely that if I was to go to it, I would want that FlatView.
Yeah, the added value there, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, very interesting. Okay. To
sum up the interface itself, I use six toolbars on my interface. There are just like 20 toolbars I can use. But all I need in fact is the operations toolbar, the tab bar, the lister menu toolbar, and the drive toolbar. And the other one is the customized one. That's all I need. But like you see in my other interfaces, I had other needs at other times and I did other things. Other people, you can go on the website and the Opus website and see in the forum all kinds of interfaces that were developed by people. but none of them as extensively as this one, I can tell you. So, but this is the extreme, I would say, I saw. But there's one or two others that that have. Now it's again it's I have are we still on the share here for the?
We're just seeing a gray box. Okay. So I think you had something else covering up, or there we go.
Yeah. Okay. Now if I go to customize and I open my my French menu toolbar right here. It's the same thing. This is if I'm working I'm in translation, so I use a lot of those tools. So my English dictionaries, my French dictionaries are here, bilingual dictionaries, other tools here. It's you can customize it to your needs, to your profession. You can, it's easy, very easy. So.
Okay, and Michelin, thank you, posted into the chat the major release history for Opus from Opus 6 through Opus 12. Anybody who's interested in that, and also a link to the Wikipedia page on comparison of file managers. So anybody who's looking to see comparison of different programs, it's there. Okay, we are past the witching hour on this, so I'll say if there are any last questions, please jump in now. And while we're waiting to see if there's anything else, I would like to thank Serge Rik very much for this presentation. A lot of work went into preparing this this deck. The deck will be up available on our website in the past meeting section, along with the chat and the audio track from tonight. So look for that within a couple of days. And so we got a thumbs up from Stu, and I think that's everything. So I think with that, thanks again, Cedric, and I will say good night to all, and thanks for joining us tonight. If there are any new people with us tonight, as always, guests are welcome. If you want to join, go to our website, and there's a link for join or renew. And we'd be happy to have you join our happy little band. It's only $20 a year. And a reminder that next week we are back to our regular Q&A. So if you have anything that you have questions or things that you want to share with the other members of the group, send it into suggestion box at opcug.ca. And we will see you then. Thanks very much.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Ajit. Great presentation. Loved it.
You're welcome. See you next
week. You just cost me another $80 or something, though, I think. and you also put a pin in the presentation that Bob Walker and I were sort of thinking of putting on for Total Commander.
Yeah.
But very interesting.
I can't go back to anything else now.
I can see that.
Yeah. When I'm at work, I'm handicapped.
Yeah. Do they allow you the portable version? Do they allow you within the license to just use it on other computers as a temporary thing?
You can have it on your USB key.
Yeah.
And use it on other computers.
Okay. So you can always have it with you.
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to connect any USB on my work.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem.
Okay, yeah.
But I was in a department. I had it purchased for me in one department. Okay. So at the time, I was doing more terminology work, and I needed more fancy stuff with all the lexicons and everything. So now I'm more in translating, editing. So it's not the same thing. I have access through the lexicons, through Opera, all the icons in Opera. So that's that. I saved them an $80. Poor government.
Yeah, poor government. Yeah, not so poor. I can see definitely if I move to that I would want to have it on my flash drive and take it with me. Because once you start using something like that, there's no going back to standard Windows File Explorer.
Yeah. Yeah, and even like you mentioned the tab, the different tabs that were added to Windows Explorer, I was scratching my head then. I have that, I had that for years.
Yeah.
Why Windows just came up, Microsoft just came up with this.
Yeah, I know. And they touted it as being such a revolutionary thing.
Oh my God. But yeah. the tabs in Opus are great. The groups, you can open groups of tabs. You're doing something in one topic. You can have all the groups saved, and then the next day you have another group open. You know, it's really.
Yeah, I think editing metadata on files, that'd be really great to be able to edit metadata on images and things like that. Fantastic capabilities built in.
Before you buy it, test it for 30 days. Ask for the extension, then you save money there.
That's true.
You don't have to pay now, and then next month you have to buy the upgrade. You know.
Yeah, that's true. Yes.
And don't forget, if you're to buy it, Black Friday.
Oh, yeah. I'll keep an eye out for that.
40%, usually 40% down on everything there. Yeah. And it's only once a year. So
yeah.
That's 2 months away.
Yeah, I noticed that slide in your deck, so a good tip on that one for sure. So, great stuff.